Grace and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior, the one baptized this holy day, in whose name we are baptized. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, ever open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to receive your word. Bless the preaching, the teaching, the hearing of your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick note, is my mic on? It is. All right, my button shows red, so it is still on. Very good. Today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, a marvelous thing that Jesus does. The Psalms say that God will do marvelous things. And one of the marvelous things that Jesus does, that the Father does for him, the Spirit does for him, is his baptism. The heavens open, the Spirit as a dove descends on him, the voice of the Father. I mean, when does the Father ever speak from the sky? Rarely. But the Father can't control himself, if you will, and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." A marvelous event. But as always on this day, we ask the question, just why was Jesus baptized? He was not a sinner like you and I, so he didn't need his sins washed away. He didn't have any sins. He already was the eternal Son of God. He didn't need to become a child of God. He already was a child of God. So he didn't need to be born again or adopted into God's family. He already was part of God's family. So why was he baptized? Well, Jesus says to John the Baptist, "Let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness." And I want to key on the little phrase, "Let it be so now." It's a very key, interesting word. It's the word aphiemi. And aphiemi can mean freedom. The picture is freedom. It's release. Christ is saying to John, "Baptize me to free me. To release me. I need to be released. I need to be freed. So baptize me." Now, when we are baptized, we are freed. Baptism is about freedom. Freedom for Jesus, freedom for us, but a bit different. When we are baptized, we're free from sin. It's washed away. We're free from the power of death. It has no power over us. We're free from the devil and all hell. We are set free. The shackles are off. The burden is off. We're the free children of God. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Jesus says when he's baptized, he needs to be set free. What is he set free from? Well, three things today as we kind of ponder the baptism of Jesus. Epiphany is a season of pondering, like Mary pondered at Christmas time. We ponder in these cold days, reflect, contemplate Jesus. Today, his baptism. Christ is set free from his private life. He's set free from his protected life, and he is set free from his perfect life. All for us, for our salvation. This is out of his amazing grace and love for us. First of all, when Christ is baptized, "Set me free, John, set me free." He is set free from his private life, released from his private life. Christ is baptized when he's 30 years old. And we all know that for the first 30 years of his life, he's basically led a private life. He's born in Bethlehem, lies in the manger. We just covered that. He then has to flee to Egypt because Herod tries to kill him. But then he comes back to Nazareth in Galilee and lives there. And Nazareth in Galilee was a very small town. Scholars think that it was maybe 500 people, very small town. He lives in that small town for 30 years as far as we know. And he's raised by Joseph and Mary. And he has some siblings, it seems, at least some relatives, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, relatives at least. And he probably learns carpentry from Joseph, who was a carpenter. They're in that little small town, an ordinary, simple Jewish boy living in Galilee. And very few people know who he really is. Mary does, Joseph does, maybe a few other people. But really, no one knows who he is. Nice private life. But now when he is baptized in the Jordan River, it all changes. Now he's going public. It begins his public ministry. God is showing to us and to all people, and Jesus will show over 3 years who he really is. He's not just Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Lord, the great I Am. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah, the Christ, God Himself in our midst. And of course, that's one of the meanings of the signs. The heavens open, and the Spirit comes upon him and gives him power. And then the culmination, the Father wants us to all be sure who He is. As the Father says in very simple kindergartenish language, "This is my Son. You think he's merely a little boy from Nazareth. This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I delight, the one prophesied by Isaiah way back in Isaiah 42 that we read. He is the promised one, the Messiah, my Son. Know who he is. It's public now." Very like when I was a little boy, I went to Calvary Lutheran School in Indianapolis. And we had a fourth through sixth grade basketball team. And I joined the team when I was in fourth grade, but there were fifth and sixth graders on the team too. Again, it's kind of a small Lutheran school. And believe it or not, when I was in fourth grade and we had a game, I was terrified. "Don't put me in, coach, please. I'm a little bitty boy. I'm not very tall and I can't run very fast. I can't really do a whole lot with the ball." So I would sit on the very end of the bench away from the coach. So whenever he wanted a substitute, "Where's Busher at? Where's he at? I'll forget about him." Afraid, scared, "I'll mess up, I'll screw up, I'll blow the game, don't put me in." Well, Christ is the opposite. For 30 years, he's eager. The Old Testament lesson says that he doesn't grow faint, he's not discouraged, he's eager to save us. He's right beside the coach, his father, saying, "Put me in, coach. Put me in, I'm ready to go. I'm 30 years old now. Put me in. Let me play. Let me win the game. Let me conquer sin, death, and hell. Let me do it. I'll do it all. I'm the one-man team. Put me in." It's love. He can't wait to save us. This is not a terrible day for Jesus. "Oh, no, no, I have to go save the world. How terrible." It's a day he longs for because he wants to win for us and deliver us. He's released from his private life. And to add quickly, same thing happened when we were baptized. It's now public. I'm a Christian. I'm baptized. I bear the cross. I want the whole world to know who I really am. I'm not just another American citizen living here in Tennessee. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus who loves me, and I will proclaim him to the world. Secondly, Christ is freed, released from his protected life. Again, for the first 30 years of his life, he's pretty much protected. We see it at his birth where Joseph and Mary, they do everything they can to protect him. They find the stable or the cave where he's born, even though there's no room in the inn. And Mary wraps him in swaddling clothes. She's very protective as a mother. Joseph, no doubt, is there. They take care of him. And then Herod threatens to kill him. And God protects him. With angels informing Joseph, they flee to Egypt all by the protection, the shielding of God. It's not time yet for him to die. He's going to die, but not yet. He's protected. And then the angel tells Joseph he can come back, so they come back to Nazareth. And he lives there, and he's a shielded young boy, protected by mom and dad. The angels are around him. All is good, all is well. The Bible says he grows in grace and favor. People kind of like Jesus. They're favorable. He's a perfect little boy, after all. He does everything for everybody, right? Protection. Nice life. But when he's baptized, it'll all change. He's now going to be persecuted. He enters that water as the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all the protection of God and the angels. He leaves the water as the Lamb of God who'll get killed, who doesn't have a lot of protection anymore. And so when he leaves the water, you know what happens next? The devil is waiting. He's tempted by the devil. The devil's waiting. "I'm going to go after him." But the devil, of course, cannot defeat Jesus. Then he does miracles and he teaches and he becomes quite popular. But already there's brewing hatred. His first sermon in the Bible is in Nazareth in the Gospel of Luke. And he preaches that he is the Messiah. And his own hometown tries to take him and throw him over a cliff. He's going to die. He's hated. And quickly, because he does things on the Sabbath they don't think he should do, healing people. And he teaches that he's the Messiah. Quickly, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they plot to kill him. Early on, they plot to kill him. We must get rid of him. From protected to persecuted. From Lord now to the Lamb who will be slain. And it all comes to a great head, of course, on Good Friday when he is killed. And he cries out in loneliness, my God, why have you forsaken me? He has nobody. Because only he can bear our sins. And only he can suffer our hell. And this is great, great love. He leaves the protection of God, if you will, that we may enter the protection of God. And that happens in our baptism. God puts his hand around us and no one can snatch you out of my hand. You have all my protection through all of your life. You know, we have two little dogs, as you know, and on these cold days, they have to be let outside to go to the bathroom. And I don't really like doing that a whole lot. I like my dogs, but not that much. But I let them out, and sometimes the little boogers won't come back, of course. They smell the cat food next door, and they want to run over and get the cat food. And so on a cold day, I let them out the backyard, and they're not where they're coming back in, and what do I do? Do I willingly, lovingly go out in the cold and rescue my dogs? Not really. I just crack open the door. Tucker, Ted, get back in here. Treat, 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 come on. I don't want to leave my comfort zone and go rescue my dogs. I would if they were really in trouble, but you got the idea. I'll just yell out the window and stay in my nice, comfortable, warm house. Jesus, when he's baptized, leaves his comfort zone. He goes out into the cold, dark world to rescue us strange sheep and puts us on his shoulders and carries us home. That's his baptism. And then last of all, he is freed. He's released from his perfect life. Let me explain. Jesus says to John, it's fitting to do this to fulfill all righteousness. When Adam and Eve sinned and we sin, we make the entire place unrighteous and wicked. So the world is full of unrighteousness and wickedness and rebellion and sin. So Jesus says, I've come to bring back righteousness, make everything right between us and God, to fill you with righteousness so you're pure and you are holy and you are righteous and can stand before God and go to heaven. That's why we need to be baptized. He needs to be baptized. And so Jesus' baptism, in a way, as I've always said, is opposite of ours. When we are baptized, we put sin into the water. Sin is washed away by the power of the Spirit, and we put sin in the water. Because it's washed off us, we make the water dirty with sin. And we leave the water with the righteous life of Jesus, covered by Jesus, his righteousness. So our input is sin, and the output is righteousness. So we're righteous. That's our baptism. Jesus' baptism is opposite. When Jesus comes to baptism, Jesus puts in his righteousness and he takes out our sin. So they're opposites that work beautifully together. He puts in his righteousness. He's touching that baptismal water with his righteous, perfect life so that when we're baptized, we take it out. We put in our sin. When he is baptized, he takes it all out upon himself. And carries our sin to Calvary's cross. So when we're baptized, we're righteous. Covered, as I told the dear children. Pure and holy. Perfect in the eyes of God. And Christ is doing all that by touching the waters of baptism. Read something interesting about Thomas Jefferson. You know, he was kind of a strange fellow in some ways. But I read where he would lived at Monticello, of course, there in Virginia. And when diplomats or dignitaries would come to his house, he would often greet them in his pajamas. And he would greet them in his pajamas to say, I'm just an ordinary guy. I don't have an arrogance about me. I'm just ordinary and simple. So I come to you in my pajamas to show you I'm ordinary and a simple guy. And I think that's just kind of goofy. How about you? But here's what's not goofy. The Son of God comes down and takes on our dirty pajamas. Our dirty, filthy sins he wears and carries from the baptismal water and takes them to a cross. And our wonderful Savior, and this is not goofy, this is grace, clothes us in his righteousness, in his mercy, in his perfect life. And that's not goofy, that is grace. And that is real when you're baptized. It is true. I am baptized. Say with me. I am baptized. I am righteous. Say that. I am righteous. I have heaven. Say that. I have heaven. So why is Christ baptized? To be set free, released from his private life, to go public, he's the Son of God. From his protected life, to be persecuted and killed. From his perfect life, to give us his perfect life, that we be saved eternally in perfect paradise. Amen. We rise and confess our faith, the Nicene Creed. Let's confess.